I don't know about you, but I know I've said this every week, but every week has just been a tremendous blessing throughout this summer series. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your participation. And thank you to all of the men who brought such phenomenal lessons. This year, we've been talking all year about loving loyalty and how our loyalty to God is a response to God for what he has done for us. Because of his unmerited favor, we respond to God with unshakable commitment and loyalty to him. And our speakers have done a wonderful job at fleshing out what that means for us to be loyal to God, to respond to God in faithfulness. And I know that Scott Stewart is going to bring a tremendous lesson tonight. Scott and his wife, Sarah, I not only appreciate the role that they play here at McDermott Road, but they are dear friends to me, and I appreciate their friendship. And I was trying to think of words that I could use, and one of the words that comes to my mind is genuine. Scott is genuine, and I know that tonight you will see his genuine love for you and his genuine love for the Lord as he speaks to us about seeking God. Come speak the word to us, brother.
Well, good evening. I am going to echo what many of the men have said before me, that it is such an honor to be here in front of you. And it's such an encouragement that you guys are here on a Wednesday night. And let me tell you, I understand. I've got a 5-year-old that is pushing every boundary known to man. And on the car ride over here, I kept thinking to myself, I need Jesus after this. And so does she. So does she. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you guys about seeking God. And if you've ever been in one of my classes, you'll know that I typically pick subjects that I struggle with, that I need encouragement myself in, so that I can grow. And my hope tonight is that that's what we're going to do together. We seek a lot of things in this life, don't we? Work. Oh, we seek a lot of things at work. Corporate ladders, climbing up them, getting more recognition, more respect, more authority. Maybe we want to be recognized more. Maybe across the nation, we want to be seen as an expert in our field. We seek a lot of things at work. What about hobbies? Let me tell you, there's a magazine for every hobby known to man. I mean, you can find one for basket weaving. You can find one for golf. You can find one for tennis. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. There is something out there for it. And oh, we seek those things, don't we? If you're doing golf, we're working on our swing. If you're doing tennis, you're working on your backhand or whatever the case may be. You are seeking knowledge in that. You're seeking expertise in that. You're seeking that because it's something that you find enjoyable. Community. Let me tell you that nowadays, every person I hire at work is seeking community. Every younger generation is seeking community. And aren't we seeking community too? We're here. We forced ourselves probably to come here some Wednesdays because of traffic and a long day, a long week, and maybe even just wanting to see each other, right? So we seek those things, that like-mindedness, the connection, the love that we feel here. We seek community. Entertainment. Go to the movies, and we spend countless hours, tons of money, sporting events. Whatever it is, we seek entertainment all the time. We seek the newest and best books. I don't like to read myself, so I listen to Audible. So we seek out the best narrators or whatever you want to say there, but we look for all types of entertainment and we go searching for it and longing for it. Knowledge. Don't we seek knowledge? Everybody out there is a self-proclaimed expert nowadays. You look online, everybody wants to be the best of the best. They want to know everything about something. Everybody wants to be able to impart knowledge on somebody else. We seek it. We read about it. We study it in school. We look at textbook after textbook, all to gain more knowledge. More knowledge. We seek that. And for many of us in this room, whether we admit it or not, possessions. We seek to have a bigger home, more square footage, a bigger yard. We seek a better car, all to keep up with somebody else around us all too often. And right alongside that is wealth. We seek it. How much can we have in our bank account that will feel stable financially? That we'll feel like we have financial freedom, whatever that means. That we'll feel like we can retire and be good. We seek wealth all the time, don't we? We take on other jobs, other roles, all so that our bank account can increase. We see more money coming in. For many of us in here, we seek other things like better marriages. We go to courses, classes, workshops. And the list goes on and on and on. My brothers and sisters, we seek a lot of things. We seek a lot of things. But how often is the first thing we seek God? I want you to sit there and think like I have about this. You might not like the thoughts that are going through your mind right now because you may be saying to yourself, Scott, I hear you, and I saw all those things on the side, but I have to do those things. I've got to seek out my job. I've got to seek out the knowledge. Let me tell you, I'm convinced that Satan lives in distractions today. Amen. He lives in distractions. How often do we seek God first? And now you see why I chose this lesson. Because I struggle with this time and time again. I think when you talk about anything like this, you start off with the why. Like I thought through this and I was like, why do I seek God? I love this verse right here. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith. Faith is a part of this seeking process, right? And he goes on to say, anyone who wants to come to him must believe. So faith and belief that God exists and he rewards those who sincerely, what church? Who sincerely seek him. He rewards those. You know, this life offers a lot of things and it looks really good. Perhaps you can look around you and say, I've got all this, these things, this stuff, I've got a great position at work, I've got all of these things. Let me tell you, we are here tonight because this world is not our home. Amen? This world is not our home. The reward that we have coming for us, we can't even comprehend how incredible it is, what our God is going to do for us. Now, this is beside the fact of how he blesses us and how he loves us and is merciful to us. But this reward, I love how Paul put it, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and following. You remember this? He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. He says the competitors of the games go into strict training. They do this to receive a crown that will not last. But we, do you remember the rest of this? A crown that will last, anybody? Forever. That's our hope. That's why we seek him. This life is not easy. There's pain, there's hurt, there's heartache, there's disease, there's sickness, there's all of these things that weigh us down. In Bible class on Sunday, I don't know if you guys did this, but I had one of the guys volunteer to hold his backpack, put a backpack on. And I would ask the class, what are some things that are hard to forgive? And each time they said something, I would put another book in there. Now, I brought some big books. And at the end of this, I looked over at him, and he's shifting a little bit, and he'd buckled the top buckle to give him a little bit more support. And he said, I go, how does this feel? And he goes, it feels heavy. It hurts. That's this life. The hurt, the pain, all of the struggles, the stress. And that's why our God is so amazing. Look at what Jesus said. Come to me. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that our God, who created the universe, that when we leave this place and we look up at the stars and we feel so small, loves you and loves me enough that he would say, come to me and you're going to find rest. I know how hard this life is and I know what you're going through, but I'm the answer. I'm the answer. Come to me and you will find rest. And that's why I love this verse so much. So we have this reward coming. We have his love that he has for us, his mercy, his grace. That's why we seek him. Because when you look at everything else around you, you can't help but seek God. He is the answer. Jesus is the answer, and that's why we seek him. So what are some ways to seek him? Now, I was kind of proud of myself on this because my name has two S's, first and last name. Seeking has an S as its letter, and every one of these 5 points I'm making tonight is an S word. Okay, not a bad S word, okay, so don't think that, but it's an S word, okay? So here we go. Seeking God in silence and solitude. When's the last time you sat with God? Just sat with him. Oh, probably if you're like me, you haven't, because you were sitting there with a tablet or a phone or something and it was constantly buzzing and constantly. You know, they designed them that way for a dopamine release so that it would distract you from everything else you're doing. You can't sit in silence and solitude with your phone. So if you're also trying to read the Word of God and you've got notifications popping up all the time, it's going to be really hard to focus on his Word, isn't it? So silence and solitude, why though? Why silence? Why solitude? We need to create this space, this environment that promotes attention and connection to our God. Because if we don't, that connection's severed. It's going to be filled with something. And so when we don't create this space, it's really hard to focus on God and what he's doing for you and for me, what he is, how he's working in your life. You might say, well, what do we do in this environment that we've created? Well, you can pray to God. You can pray. You can bear your soul to him. He knows what's going on through your mind, through your thoughts and your heart, but you can pray to him. We can be still and know that he is God. Psalm 46:10, that verse just, it brings new light when you sit there in silence and solitude. There's nothing else. You know, I love going outside. I'm a big nature person. At night, you know, I'll take some walks in the evening. You see the stars, all that I hear. You don't have all the cars. You don't have all the sound of people or anything like that. What you have is God's creation and you. That's it. And when you sit there or you're walking and you are in silence and solitude and you start focusing on God, sure, your mind's going to be going a lot of places, but if you can focus on our Creator, it's an incredible experience. It puts things into perspective. Those walks that I do, oftentimes, I mentioned this earlier, I'll look up at the stars and I'll see just, it's incredible, His handiwork, is it not? It is incredible. It's incomprehensible. I can't even fathom. When I go to the mountains and see how beautiful it is, it's incredible to me. And yet, it helps me remember something, that God is God, and I am not. We like to pretend that we are not, but oftentimes we try to elevate ourselves up, but I'm nothing in comparison. If that doesn't help us seek Him, I don't know what will. We can draw near to Him, as James 4:8 talks about, and then we can search the Scriptures, which we'll talk about in just a second. You know, this isn't a foreign concept. Jesus did this too. In Luke 5:16, it says, but He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would eliminate that external noise, and He would create that time of connection to His God, our God. So the second one, seeking God in Scripture. Oh, this one's a hard one, isn't it? Because I bet everybody in here, if you were to go around the room and you said, how much time do you spend in Scripture and do you feel like it's enough, you would probably say no. I mean, think about it in comparison. You work 8 hours a day, or maybe you go see a movie that's 2 hours long. How many people in here are spending 2 hours a day in Scripture? 8 hours a day in Scripture, right? Like, it's not happening, and that's okay to admit to one another. But in Scripture, we have something that is incredible, because we have the very words of our God that teach us what a life devoted to Him looks like. You want to know how to seek God? You look in the Scripture. That's how you know how to seek God. That life that you see being modeled for you in Christ and in others, that's how you know how to seek God. That's what it looks like. You see the attributes of our God. Isn't it incredible that we can look in Scripture and know who our God is? Know that He loves us. Know that He wants us to be with Him. That's an incredible gift. And, you know, nowadays you hear the songs on the radio, like reckless love. I don't like that term. I think it's very intentional, and I think it's incomprehensible. The love that He has for you and me, the grace and the mercy that He sheds on you and me. You see it just throughout the Scriptures. We are a broken people, and yet He loves us enough that He gave us Jesus. It's incredible. It's incredible. I want to be like these people in Acts 17. The Bereans were listening to Paul and Silas, and what did they do? They searched the Scripture how often? Daily. Yeah, they searched the Scripture daily. I want to be more like them. I mean, Wes got up here not too long ago and said, don't just take what I say, search the Scriptures and look at it. Amen. That's what we should be doing, right? We need to be in the Word in order to know how to seek Him. And do we believe this? Psalm 119:105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do we believe that? Because if we do, we need to be in it. But we let ourselves get, and I'm talking about me, so don't think I'm pointing at anybody in here. We let ourselves get distracted from the prize. We let ourselves get distracted from what really matters, and that's seeking Him in His Word. We seek God by surrendering to Him. We don't like this term, surrender or submission, because when you surrender to somebody, you're yielding to their power. Listen, between us, there isn't anybody I want to yield to except God. If I'm going to yield to anybody, it's going to be the Creator of everything around us, the person that gave His Son. He That's who I'm going to yield to. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That surrender. It's no longer me. It's God. In me, through me. I am his hands and feet at this point in time. That's what we are to be. Ambassadors for him. Don't you love that? Isn't that incredible? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Part of submission, part of surrendering is humbling yourselves. And that is hard for us. Despite we can come here on a Sunday and we can pretend to have it together and we can say, oh, I'm going to humble myself. No, it's hard to do that, isn't it? And James says, you humble yourselves because that's what Jesus did. Even to the point of death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2. And then Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross. Jesus' words. So we surrender to him. What's another way that we seek him? Through sacrifice. You know, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You remember that verse, Romans 12, I've got it up there for you. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he follows it up and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed, right? But be transformed. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that the testing, that by testing, you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And this life that we're called to live is going to demand sacrifice. It's going to demand that we give some things up, isn't it? It's going to demand that we might have to change completely what we've always known and what we're comfortable with to be able to follow him. It demands sacrifice. And that's why when you look at this section of Scripture, it makes so much more sense. Because look at what it says here in 1 John. Do not love this world, nor the things that it offers you. I love how the New Living Translation puts it here. Do not love this world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, church, what does it say there? You have the love of the Father in you? You're doing God's will? No. What does it say? You do not have the love of the Father in you. And that hurts to read that, doesn't it? Because oftentimes we're loving everything about this world, but God kind of falls off of the priority list. And here, 1 John, John's saying, listen, wake up. If you love this world so much, you're forgetting where your home is, and it is not here. Because listen what he follows it up with. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. That covers about all of it, right? Physical pleasure. Everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions. Well, he doesn't stop there. These are not from the Father. These are not from the Father. They're from this world. And I love how he ends this right here. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. Do we know that? And we'll latch on to things in this world that we think we just need to have, that we want to hold so near and dear, and we want to hold them close because it's what we want or it's what we feel we need. And yet, John reminds us, you know, everything that we latch on to, church, it's fading away. It's fading away. That's the world. It's not our home. And that's why he ends it by saying this. Because I bet when he said that, those people were sitting there just like you and I are, listening to that and going, hold on now, John, I don't want to hear that. I'm tethered to this in some ways, and I don't want to believe that. And he says, you need to, but if you've kind of feel hopeless now, because you now understand this reality, then know this, but anyone who does the will of my Father, who pleases God, will live forever. That's a hope that we have. It isn't in this world. It isn't. No matter how much we want to hold on to things and we want to just wrap our arms around them and we want to just stay here. Isn't it incredible how many people just want to stay here? Like in this corrupt, broken place, it's almost like we'll do anything to stay here. And yet on the other side is God. On the other side of all this brokenness is perfection. It's perfection. It's God. And that's why this verse rings so true. And church, we need to hear this verse today, don't we? We need to hear this verse today. The final thing I want to mention in seeking God is through service. When we seek God and we understand what He's done for us, we're a part of Him, He's working in us, it changes our heart. And no longer are we working for ourselves, but we're working for God. Ephesians 2:10, it ends, it's the ending, you know, in your Bibles is probably broken up right there, but it starts off and it says, we used to all be living in sin. You remember this verse? And everybody was the same. We were all living in this sin. But here's what's different. We've been separated from that now. We're different than that. Almost like the transformed from Romans, right? We've been transformed out of that. And then he ends by saying this, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus for what, church? Good works. Created for good works, by which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. That's action. You can't just say, oh, I believe in God, and your life go off the rails and not even be close to it. And we find ourselves in that position all too often, unfortunately, where our lives don't mirror what God wants us to do. A life devoted, a life where we're seeking Him, is going to merit action, works. And that's why James, oh, book of James, tears you up every time you read this thing. What good is it, dear brothers, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? He goes on to talk about, well, if you see somebody without food or clothing, be warm, be well fed, but you do nothing. And then he ends it by, in verse 17, saying, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good works. Faith isn't enough unless it produces good works. Those works that we just saw, we're walking in them because of a life devoted to Him, because we are seeking Him. So if we're not doing those things, James reminds us that it is dead and useless. We are his hands and feet. We can make such a profound impact in this world, in your job, with the people around you, in public, if we live and walk with him, living it out, action. So we seek God when we serve him. And so, having said all that, here's the question I'll leave you with. This is what I asked myself after studying this. Will we seek him first in our lives? Will we seek him first in our lives? Oh, he wants you to. He wants me to. He's right there, waiting. And he loves us. Church, I love you. I love you. And I pray that this week, the rest of this week, your life, that you encourage me, I encourage you to seek him. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are just in awe of how incredible you are. God, how you love us, how you care for us when we don't deserve it at all, God. God, we want to seek you. God, we want to walk with you in this life. Help us. Bless us in those efforts, God. God, we are so thankful for your Son, for the hope that we have in him, that we can be with you one day. And God, we look forward to that time. God, bless everyone here this evening. Keep them safe. God, help us to be your hands and feet. God, help us to be more like your Son, Jesus. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.